Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. Where touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America Podcast 10 Questions, and I'm lucky enough to be with Sally McNulty, the driver of the Borla number 780 Honda Civic Si and TCA. Sally, thanks for joining me. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Are you ready for these 10 questions? Here we go. Question number one. What was the first car you ever owned?
The first car I ever owned? Well, I think it was it was my mom's car she gave me. It was a 97 Lincoln Town Car, and it was a boat.
Was it in perfect condition when you got it, or she wanted you in the town car because she knew you'd be safe because it's a tank?
I mean, it was in pretty good shape. I think it was just because it was the car and it was there, and maybe she wanted to get a new car.
Yeah. It's kind of the typical hand-me-down situation. I didn't have a hand-me-down, but most of my friends who did, they were station wagons or big old boats or, you know, things half falling apart, you know, that kind of thing. So I just wanted to see. Question number two, what did you want to be when you were growing up? So when you were, say, between the ages of 5 to 10, what did you want to be?
What did I want to be?
Yeah.
You know, my dad was a plumbing contractor, so he did, like, new construction plumbing.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was a teacher. My dad was always working on stuff. I had three brothers, and we were always, you know, tinkering around with things.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure it was something I wanted to do something with, like, mechanical-wise. I never was into, like, the real girly stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't say that I really had, like, a real, like, idea of what I wanted to do, but I'm sure I had something. Like, it was always, like, something to do with, like, hanging out with my brothers and my dad.
So you were a tomboy from an early age, it sounds like. I gotcha.
Definitely, definitely. Riding four-wheelers, jumping out, because we had a farm. We lived on a farm, and he used to ride the four-wheelers and, you know, jump like, little mountains of dirt. And it was always a competition between us. So
yep.
I would go and drive the four wheeler, and I would go jump a big mound. And then, of course, they'd be, I can do better than that. Get off here. Let me show you how it's done.
And where was this farm? What part of the country?
I grew up in Missouri.
Missouri.
In the Ozarks, Rolla, Missouri, in the middle of nowhere.
All right. Cool. So this leads into the next question. Question three is, do you have brothers and sisters? And if yes, how many are there and where are you in the mix?
Got it. I have three brothers. I have one stepbrother and two half-brothers.
Uh-huh.
And I am the smallest. I am the baby. I am the youngest.
So no wonder you were a tomboy, right? Trying to keep up with your brothers, wanting to be like them.
I was their shadow. Yep.
That's cool. Question number four, what's your go-to order at your favorite restaurant?
Oh, man. Okay, so I love all types of Asian food. Korean, Japanese, Chinese. But if I were to pick, I'd probably pick Korean barbecue. My absolute go-to favorite, love Korean barbecue.
Okay, so
kimchi,
okay, there you go. Cool. Question number five, what do you wish you knew when you started racing that you know now?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question.
That's the point of it.
Honestly, I started getting into motorsports is that my friend told me, hey, Sally, you should sign up for a track day. And I said, what is a track day? I always liked cars. I had, like, Camaro. I had some other kind of fun cars. And he showed me a video on YouTube, and he was like, this is a track day. And I'm like, that looks like fun. I wish somebody would have told me, like, hey, you know, you're gonna do this once, and you're gonna be hooked, and it's gonna cost you a lot of money. So you might want to think about that right off the bat.
So you just saw the fun and said, "I'm doing this regardless," and didn't think it all the way through.
Right, but it's okay. It's all right.
So you wish that you knew it was going to be a like a drug. It was going to be addicting. It was going to cost way too much money and probably not very much satisfaction, right?
honestly, it is satisfaction, though, is that, you know, you can see where you come from, where you started, and you can end up somewhere.
That's,
you know,
great.
With somebody would have told me all that. You know what? I love it. It's, you know, I got behind the wheel and I was addicted to it, and I was like, I love this stuff. And then I was like, well, I can't have that. I need to do this. So I'm, you know, I worked past those tires or worked past those brake pads. This suspension's not working as well. And then you end up going faster and faster and faster. But then you like see yourself, you're like, you know, I can reach that faster at times. I can do that. So I'm gonna have to spend some money on it. I'm gonna have to save, or I'm gonna have to, you know, sell some cars, or, you know, get an extra job or do something to get there. But, you know, I want to get there. And, you know, I honestly think that racing has really propelled me to be a better person and a better worker. It gives me a good work ethic, is that if I'm at work, the job I have, it's you know, I have a lot of customers. I work in sales. You know, it makes me want to drive myself to push harder because I want to get out there and I want to do something. So I have a goal. Keep me focused on what I'm doing and keep me going in the right direction.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I can totally see that, and that's really cool. Question number six, which is totally opposite of what we just talked about. What's something you failed at?
What's something that I failed at?
Yeah, that you failed at in the past.
I failed at in the past.
And it could be something when you were young. It could be something stupid, but, you know, everyone has failures. So, you know.
I am not very good at laundry. Terrible.
Okay.
My boyfriend often makes fun of me, and he tells me, he tells me, my shirt's just too tight. I'm fresh shirt tight.
So
I'm not a very good at, I'm not good at house stuff.
There you
I'm
go.
Really good at car stuff.
There you go. That's fine. Question number seven. Do you
follow adulting wise,
you're not gonna like it. Question number seven. Do you follow baseball at all? Do you know baseball? Have you been to baseball games before? If you could choose walk-up music, like in a baseball game, you know, they when they come up to bat, they have a theme song that they go to bat with. What would you choose as your theme song?
If I were to play baseball, and
no, like they're gonna have theme music for you to walk up for driver introductions. You get to pick any song. What song would it be?
Well, I will say that I don't know how to sport. I don't know anything about sports. But I don't know.
You don't have a song that captures your essence of who you are? Like, I don't know, it just really speaks to who you are. Nothing like that, huh? People struggle with this question for sure.
I would have to say, let's see here. I like a lot of music. I like a lot of music, but I have to say that it would be hard for me to explain because I like all sorts of types of music. I like rock, and then I like EDM music, which is like electric dance music.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that old. I know what EDM is. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll probably pick something on the like EDM range because that's something that it gets you motivated, it gets you moving.
Plus, you're just back from Good Life,
and I'm super bubbly.
I'm sure they had a lot of
person,
yeah.
So
you are
out well.
Yeah, and I know you just got back from Good Life, and I know Good Life has a fair amount of EDM there, so I could
it
see
does,
that.
It does.
Okay, on question number eight, what do you do on a normal non-race weekend?
Lately, that's not been the case. I feel like I've been pretty busy. But normally on a non-race weekend, I definitely hit up some Korean barbecue with my boyfriend because that's what we do. We like to go and eat. That's our adventures.
Right.
We love eating and trying new things. And I hang out with my dog. We have two corgis. One is Carl and one is Lucy. So...
Yeah, you cover your dogs quite a bit on social media. I do enjoy that. So I'm a dog person.
I do. They're definitely a bright spot in our lives. So they play a pretty big part.
That's cool. Question number nine. What's your favorite book?
What's my favorite what?
Book. Yep. Like something you would say, man, you got to read this book. This is an awesome book. What would you pick?
Well, I don't say that I really feel awesome.
So I had someone said a service manual for a Hyundai Genesis was his favorite book. So it could be something along those lines.
He must be really boring. But you know what? He's probably the only person who's ever read that book, because I guarantee none of the owners have.
Yeah, that, you know, it's Jeff Rieke. It's so I always tease him because Jeff, I'm so glad I get to bring this up. Jeff met his now wife. He's been married for 15 years, but she was dating one of his friends and she came into his shop. So I tease him all the time that, you know, don't get Rieke. That means don't get your girlfriend stolen by Jeff Rieke. So yeah, he's the one who read the manual. But you don't have, so you don't have a favorite book that you would recommend?
You know, I've had a few friends that told me there's a couple of good books out there that I should read.
Okay.
But myself, I haven't really read a whole lot of books.
All right.
I would have to admit. I probably haven't picked up a book in about 10 years.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is probably a bad thing to admit. But...
That's fine. That's totally fine. Question number 10. You're alone in your car. Do you sing along with the music?
Can I say that again?
And when you're alone in your car, do you sing along to the music?
Oh, of course. Of course.
If other people
100%.
If other people in the car, are you singing along to the music?
Definitely not. I don't
want to
hurt their
eardrums. Gotcha.
I'm doing them a favor.
But when you're by yourself, you're rocking out, huh? You are singing along or dancing to the EDM music. I like it.
Yeah, that would work for sure.
All right, Sally, thanks for playing TC America Podcast 10 Questions.
You got it.
Want to save money modifying your Mazda? Yeah, we thought you might like that. And now, thanks to the TC America podcast, you can save 10% off your next purchase with Corksport. Corksport offers a full range of performance engine, handling, and styling parts for the Mazda 3, Mazda 6, Mazda Speed 3, MX-5, and more. So how do you get the 10% off from your favorite podcast, you ask? It's easy to do. Get your favorite parts on corksport.com and enter the promo code TCAmerica19, all in capitals, and the magic happens. You save 10%. This offer expires October 1st, 2019, so don't wait long to save. Love, Corksport.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America podcast, and I'm here with Chandler Hull, the driver of the Copart Bimmerworld BMW M240i in the touring car class. Chandler, it's great to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
So, Chandler, you're new to the series, and you're fairly young, but I'd like to know more about you. I don't know a ton about you. I've seen you at the track. I've seen you on the podiums. I know Cameron a bit, but I haven't spent much time with you yet. So we'd like to get to know you. So where were you born?
I was born in Kansas City, Missouri.
And where do you... Go ahead.
I only lived there for a couple of years, and then my dad got a job down here in Dallas. So moved down here and grew up here.
So you've been in Dallas most of your life?
Yes, yeah, except for a short few years in Cabo in Mexico, and then I did a year at boarding school in Costa Rica as well.
Bueno. How's your Spanish?
Not as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
But I can still pass.
Good. So a young kid, you're growing up in Dallas. Was your dad into cars at all?
No, not really. I remember growing up, he had a Mercedes SL, that he got when I was 10 or so. And I thought it was awesome. It was a big V8, and I loved to listen to it when he drove off in the morning for work. But other than that, really, there was no influence on it. I just kind of started with Hot Wheels. I think I probably had a couple hundred Hot Wheels or whatnot growing up.
So you had your own interest in cars as a kid?
Yes,
even though the family wasn't necessarily into it. I think you said in the 10 questions that your dad raced motocross or something like that. So
I did get a little experience with the motocross thing. I was, I don't know, 7 or 8, and my mom said I was too young to race, so I never raced motocross, but we had a lake house, and my brother and I would go out all day, all week while we were there, and just ride and all kinds of stuff. Got hurt, got into trouble, all the normal things that a kid does on a motorcycle.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing at that age at a lake, for sure. Tearing up the woods, getting in trouble, having a great time, probably harmless trouble, which is also good. So,
yeah,
that's great. So, in high school, were you into cars then too, or? Well,
yes, yeah. That's really when my interest in cars really got going. Once I got my license, I couldn't wait to drive, and I wanted all these cars, and I would change what car I wanted every week. Some of them reasonable, some of them not.
So did you read magazines or go online, or how did you educate yourself if you didn't have a family that was totally into it?
Every time my mom went to the grocery store, I'd go with her and pick out every single car magazine they had on the rack. I would read them cover to cover all night long and just look at the pictures and tear out the ones that I liked and created this whole little world for myself in my room.
So before you were driving, so you'd say you're a freshman, sophomore in high school, you're excited to get your license. What were you putting up on your walls? What kind of cars?
At that time, kind of anything with a big V8. I really did like the AMGs. I think at the time, AMG had that 6.2 liter V8 that just, it sounded incredible. And that kind of really started my interest in fast cars and some stuff in high school.
So it was your exotic kind of V8 is really what you liked?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And then obviously the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis, those are all awesome too.
Right. I wasn't sure if you were like in the Fast and Furious type crowd or exotic type crowd. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Definitely more European exotic stuff.
Got it. So you finish high school. What's after? What comes next? What are you doing after high school?
I kind of pulled an unexpected move and actually did my freshman year in Switzerland.
Huh.
So I moved over there, and I actually ended up getting a little Fiat Abarth over there. And that's probably one of the most fun cars I've ever driven. I came back after a year and did a couple of years at TCU. SMU was a little too close to home. I just lived down the street from it.
Right.
So I wasn't ready to move back home yet. But then after a couple of years at TCU, I started doing some track days. And then I finished up my last year of college online to help me start going racing last year. So I only graduated this May.
Oh, wow. So you were but you think the Abarth is really what, and the roads there in Switzerland really spurred you on to wanting to get more fun out of the car? Like, had you done track days before you went off to Switzerland?
No. So I'd never done a track day until I came back from Switzerland. The first track day was right before my 21st birthday, and both of my parents went out of town. So I thought, why not? It's a great idea to take my car to the track. My emergency contact is not in town.
And did they have any idea you were doing it, or no idea?
They did not until I found some pictures posted from somebody that was at the event as well, and put them up on Facebook, and I showed my parents, and they were like, "What are you doing?" They couldn't believe it. But I kept doing it, so I really got the bug pretty quick.
Yeah. So you were doing some track days and just kind of learning about cars and kind of seeing what the whole thing was like. And then last year was your first year actually wheel-to-wheel racing. Is that correct? Is that how it went?
Yeah, so my first actual competition on track was February of 2018. I did a lucky dog race at Buck Willow. Had no idea what to expect. I was flying to the middle of nowhere, California, to go to a racetrack for a 12-hour race.
Yeah, and just in
so
case
I was,
some...
I was kind of in over my head.
Perfect, yes. Just so people on the East Coast may not know, Lucky Dog is kind of a takeoff of Chump Car, Champ Car, they call it now, or Lemons.
Yeah, it's like a West Coast version.
Yeah, it's almost like a West Coast AER, really, when it comes down to it. And because
it's not the prettiest cars to look at, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun, but they do allow some better cars in there than Lemons does, and they just put you in different classes, so you can run. Mm-hmm. You know, we've run it a bunch of times as a family. You know, my whole family's involved in racing, and we've done it a few times as well. I just wanted to make sure people understood what type of level it was. So you show up at this 12-hour race, and what kind of car was it you guys were going to run?
It was a BMW E36.
Okay. And who were you driving with? Did you know them, or?
One of the drivers was my teammate, Cam Evans, and then two of his buddies that had a car.
Gotcha.
So I was really only knew Cam and just started to get to know Cam. I knew him for probably 6 months before that.
Right.
So...
Yeah, Cam's been.
It was all very new to me.
Yeah, Cam's been around for a while and running BMWs for a long time. So,
yes,
all Pacific Northwest, West Coast, I think everywhere. So, yeah, Cam's definitely a BMW guy for sure. So,
yeah, definitely.
So you show up to Button Willow, and Button Willow is a dusty track. And the first thing I think of is someone who's never gone wheel to wheel before. When someone goes off in Button Willow, it's like Days of Thunder. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but...
That was me on lap two. the bus stop there got me. But I saved it. All was good.
Yeah, the dust gets kicked up so bad that you're literally driving blind through a dust cloud. And you're just hoping and guessing that the car isn't sitting in the middle of the track. Generally, when there's a dust cloud, they're off the track, but it's still very unnerving. So I can't even imagine what that was like, having never done that before. And it's ironically, my children, my daughter and my son, their first race was a Lemons race at Button Willow, the same type of thing. So yeah, so it was one of those weird things where they just had no idea what to do. Yeah, and there's a lot of cars, too. I mean, how many cars are out there in the Lucky Dog race?
Oh, 50 or 60, 70 some places.
Yeah, so all different levels of preparation, all different levels of driving. You have guys like Cameron Evans who have been around the block. You've got guys like Chandler Hull who's wide open, eyes are wide open, going, this is my first time I'm racing. And so lap two, did you go off or did you have to drive through the cloud of dust?
I went off and created a cloud of dust.
Gotcha.
Nobody could see where I ended up because of the dust. And I got back, I got on the radio and was like, all is okay. I just missed the breaking point.
So were you stuck or were you able to get out of the dirt where you were?
No, I was able to make it out.
Okay.
So, no problem there.
And as the race progressed, what kind of things did you encounter that you weren't expecting?
It was a lot of as you said, Lucky Dog has a bunch of different classes of how the cars are prepared. So I don't think we were in the fastest class, but we weren't in the slowest class. So we had cars that were faster and slower. So it really opened my eyes to traffic management and trying to be able to get around a slow guy or slot a fast guy by without slowing me down too much or slowing them down.
Yeah, that's a real art, and that's one thing that when people run, I know that you've run some Spec E46. We'll talk about that in a bit, but a lot of guys who run spec cars don't know how to race cars that are in different classes, and they get really frustrated with it. But it's such a good talent to have as you move on as a race car driver. So
yeah,
you
sure.
So you Where'd you end up in that Lucky Dog race, your very first race?
Actually, I finished second.
Second, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I was told not to think that I would get a trophy every time I went to the track. but it was kind of a sweet thing to get a brake disc with a sheet metal shaped dog.
Yeah.
As a trophy. It must have weighed 50 pounds, but I proudly display it on my shelf.
Yeah, we have one here. My son ran an Ensenada. They did an Ensenada street race, which was so much fun. So hilarious. But yeah, they have very unique trophies. And they're like automotive art trophies is how I would describe them. So they're pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Definitely pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that was in February of 2018. Is that correct?
Yes.
You started? Okay. So it almost sounds like you were running almost every weekend in 2018. Is that correct? Because you ran
Yes. Yeah, so I did that in February, and then I did one in March, one in April, and then once June hit, I was at the track essentially every other weekend until November.
Wow. And you ran a variety of stuff, right? So I think you ran like a Spec E46, Spec Racer Ford, Spec E30. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got in a bunch of different stuff just to get experience in different cars and different tracks. Having a professional series as a goal in just a year, I had to just kind of go all over the country and get in anything that I could whenever I could.
Right. And what track did you enjoy the most for the first, your first time going through them?
Well, everybody always asks, like, where's my favorite track? I always say they're all different, but the top track is definitely a VIR. The first time I went up through the uphill S's in my Spec E36, I was like, wow, that's exhilarating. So VIR is the home track for Bimmer World.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of testing out there, and it's kind of like my unofficial home track.
You're 1,500 miles away from your home track, like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the closer home track is COTA, but that's still 300 or so.
Yeah, it's funny because like Cole Serralo, I don't know if you know who he is, but he runs in TCA. His home track is Sonoma, but he lives in Phoenix. So it's kind of the same thing. It's just that's where he's raced the most and where he enjoys it just based on, who preps his cars and those kind of things, So.
Yeah.
So you run all these races and you decide you always had the goal of going pro in 2019. So you tried to race as much as you could to try to get yourself as ready as you could for that first race weekend at COTA. Is that pretty much how it went down?
Yes. Yeah. I think I did 18 weekends last year and over 30 races.
Right.
So I was nonstop and just trying to get as much seat time as I could.
Right.
And then in December, we decided to take that next step and get a couple cars. We run in TC America.
And did you run with Cameron Evans in a bunch of those different races or just that very first race?
Yeah. So Cam was with me most of the time. We would co-drive a couple events. We did the VIR 24 with Champ Car, and that was crazy. That was my first kind of night stint in a car. So that was a whole other experience with 90 other cars.
Right. And
he was there along the way, helping me out whenever he could.
Yeah.
Getting me up to speed.
So is he kind of your mentor, would you say?
Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect, kind of getting into racing, and I definitely couldn't have done it without Cam's help. So very appreciative of that.
That's cool. So you get these cars, you ordered them, and I believe you ordered them through Canada. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we bought them through in December, around Christmas time. So that was my Christmas present last year.
Nice.
And we're getting all the paperwork done. They get to the border, and the government decides they're going to shut down for a few weeks. So our cars were stuck at the border for almost a month, right before the season started.
Excellent. So no pressure, no worrying, none of those things going into.
We finally got the cars just 4 weeks before COTA. So we got them, did some initial prep, went to Road Atlanta for a few days, tested there, and then prepped the cars again, put them on a truck, and drove them from Virginia to Austin.
Right. And you show up at your first pro race, and what's the first thing you notice about the differences between what you've done and what's going on with SRO TC America?
Everything just seems so much more official. But I was pleasantly surprised when it ended up feeling just like a normal race weekend that I had experienced so far. Obviously, a little nervous for my first time out, but there wasn't any more pressure or any more nervousness driving. Everything just kind of felt like home.
Yeah, once you get the helmet on, it's pretty normal. I think what I hear a lot is there's so much more tech, so much more paperwork and checking of driver's gear and those kind of things than any amateur type series. So that takes some getting used to, but it sounds like you got through that okay. And so the first weekend on the track, those who don't know, COTA was very wet and very cold, very windy. The touring car and paddock was kind of separate from everybody else in the upper paddock, and it was miserable up there.
it was not very Texas-like. That's what all of our crew guys were saying. They're from Seattle and Virginia, so most of them were expecting 90 degrees and sunny, but I had to tell them that's not how it is in February.
I ended up working in the upper paddock because we had some issues where people were leaving to go down to pit lane and just driving on the track. So I had to work up there. So I know how miserable it was for you guys. It was not fun, but also the conditions were mixed right there in the race. There's wet and dry. And I think in one race, you and Cam went out on wets, right?
Whenever. Mm-hmm. And weather was super unpredictable. Whatever the radar and the weather app on our phones would say, it would do the opposite. And we never really know or knew what to expect. So luckily on Saturday, our race was dry, and we did all right. I'm happy with the results of my first ever pro race. And then on Sunday, we woke up. It was just gloomy, cold, wet, rainy. And we decided to go on some wet tires before the race, and it was a gamble because it looked like it was going to start drying up, but we were hoping for rain, and it rained about halfway through, and Cam and I were running 1-2, which was pretty awesome, and we were just praying for more rain. It would be an amazing first weekend, but it dried out, and we ended up losing those places. But it was a pretty good event. The results don't show for how well we did as our first time out.
Yeah, and that first race, I think you guys finished maybe fifth and sixth, something like that. Is that right? The first race in the drive?
Sixth, seventh, eighth, somewhere around there.
Okay, got it.
It was mid pack, which I was satisfied with.
So yeah, absolutely.
First time ever.
and I will say that I totally agreed with your crew chief's call, or if it's your guys, it's just crew chief, whoever decided to go with the reins. I thought it was a great move because you pretty much knew you'd finish somewhere similar again if it was pure dry. But, I mean, the experience of running up front and being on reins as it's drying out and learning the whole nuance of trying to keep the rain tires cool and trying to go as fast as you can without tearing up the tires too bad, yeah, was super interesting.
There's a couple places around COTA that held water the entire race, so I was very happy to find those.
Yeah, and yeah, running 1-2 in the Copart Bimmer World Cars is, I mean, I can't think of much better than that in your second race. So it would have been nice to have the rain continue. I think you guys are the only ones who started on rains. So
yes, yeah, we were. And once we pulled into Parc Fermé after the race, it started some drizzle.
Yeah.
So we were just a little too late.
It happens. So I think the next race, for you guys, was that? I get confused because I do all the different races with GT3 and GT4. I think VIR was the next weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we were at VIR in April.
And that was your home track?
Unofficially, yeah. Yeah. I was really looking forward to that one. After a pretty decent showing at COTA, I wanted some more. So had a pretty good weekend that weekend. And actually, Saturday, I finished fourth, super close, missing out on my first podium. But on Sunday, I ended up getting pole position and ended up finishing second. So that was a great day for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's your highest point so far this year is the second place, mm-hmm. right? And getting a pole, actually, I didn't realize you had the pole. So I didn't remember that. So that's pretty impressive, very impressive. And yes, I would say that's your home track if you're pulling off that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
it's really cool. And your team actually won a race at Sonoma.
That is officially Cameron's home track. He lived in San Francisco for quite a long time while he was running Redline Oil.
Yep.
So he's got thousands of laps there. So that was pretty special for his first pro win at his home track with a bunch of family there.
Yeah, it was great to see. And one thing, my brother and I think you probably know Jim. Mm-hmm. We think that your sponsor is the greatest sponsor in the history of, I should say, your partner of auto racing, because him and I are on it all the time, and that's Copart.
Yeah, he came up to us at COTA and said, "I'm not supposed to have a favorite team, but Copart makes that for me."
Yeah, him and I are always on there, always fantasizing. I have bought cars off of there before to build into race cars. So yes, you have the greatest sponsor for anyone who likes to build, play with cars, look at cars, fantasize over cars. What a great sponsor. Why don't you talk about them a little bit? How did that all come about?
Well, funny enough, I actually worked for them for a brief period of time in their IT and marketing departments while I was in school.
Right.
As an internship. And my dad actually knows Jay. They're the CEO. So last year, when we started talking about having a race team, we couldn't think of a better person to call up and hope they'd help us out. Copart used to sponsor Kevin Harvick in NASCAR and Kenny Bernstein in Top Fuel Drag Racing. So they've been in the racing game before. They know how it works, and I think they were pretty excited to get back into it.
Yeah, and again, for the people that watch these races and participate in them, it's the greatest sponsor of all time. So I was very excited to see them on the side of your cars. And Bimmer World, you know, I don't know if you know this, but in the beginning of touring car, I shouldn't say the beginning of touring car, but touring car in the 90s and early 2000s, it seems like we're always racing against Bimmer World. So it was great to see them back in the series. Miss seeing those guys.
Yeah.
So we ran out. Go ahead.
James and Bimmer World had quite a long stint in World Challenge back in the day. So they were excited to come back and see what it was like in the current day.
Yeah. And now we're heading to Watkins Glen. Have you driven there before?
Yes, I have. That was one of my spur of the moment. Hey, there's a Spec Racer Ford for you to drive at the SCCA runoffs at Watkins Glen. So a couple days later, I got on a plane and I showed up by myself, had absolutely no idea how to get to the track, figured it out, and actually quite enjoyed it. They're fun little cars to drive, and Watkins Glen is an awesome track. Going up the S is the first time at full speed, I was amazed. The walls closing in on you, it was an awesome feeling.
Yeah, it is a great track. It is a little bit of a car eater, but it is a great track. It's one of my favorites as well. And it's, if you like to drive, it's hard to not love that place. And it's, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's a beautiful little area. So it's like you're driving in a farmland. It's really cool.
It was. After the weekend last year, I kind of did some sightseeing around, and beautiful area. Wouldn't expect it next to a racetrack, but it's a pleasant surprise.
So we've got three more weekends left in touring car. What's your goal? What are you hoping to do? I think you're pretty high up there in points. I know you've had a good year, especially for a rookie.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting sixth in points.
Yep.
My personal goal for the next couple races is to obviously get more points. Want a couple more podiums. I've got a second and third place trophy this year, and I just need that number one. So hopefully I can pull that off.
And
also just kind of enjoy the rest of the time. You only have one rookie season. So just kind of looking forward to it and having a good time.
So the goal is to win a race. You want to finish in the top five in points, I'm guessing. Higher.
Top three would be awesome. It's mathematically doable. my dad's a finance guy, so
he's got it all.
He's
got the spreadsheets worked out.
Yep.
I love it. Your dads are good at that for sure. Okay, this is what we gotta do. I love it though. And is there a track that you're really looking forward to running at the remainder of the year?
Both Watkins Glen and Road America are a couple of my more favorite tracks. So I'm looking forward to running those, I'm excited to see what Vegas brings.
Yeah, one thing I'll say for you at Vegas is you've had to learn a lot of new tracks in the last year. So you maybe have an advantage because no one knows Las Vegas. They haven't run the road course there in 20 years.
That's true. Yeah.
So no one's going to have testing. No one's going to have any advantage. So I think it's really interesting to see how that's going to come into play. So a guy like you, it may be a big advantage because you've learned so many new tracks. So although Las Vegas, because it's a robo, may not be as sexy as Watkins Glen or Road America. If I was in your shoes, I'd be focusing on that one, going, okay, this is my chance. I can do well at these other places too, but no one's got an advantage knowing the track better than me at Vegas.
Yeah.
I can go do this. So, Chandler, it's been great to talk to you and get to know you a little bit. I know that a lot of the people that listen really enjoy getting to know the personalities of people. You know, you're a young man at 25, and I admire how hard you've worked in the last 15 months to try to up your game and get it to where it is. And, you know, top six in points is nothing to sneeze at, and finishing on the box as many times as you have is also great. I really hope that you can get that win that you're looking forward to. What about future plans next year? Have you thought about next year or other areas? Like, where do you want to go? Where do you see yourself going?
I definitely want to climb the ladder of just racing in general. So I'm looking forward to kind of just driving anything and everything that I can get my hands on. But for next year, definitely come back to the TC class. We've got the cars, we've got the program. Fight for the championship next year, I think, and then possibly do some GT4 stuff as well.
Cool. That sounds like a good plan to me. And, you know, I do believe that if it's a two-year program, I think you will have a shot to win the championship next year. There won't be anything too new. And especially to see the growth that you've had this year. I'm excited to think about that and to see how you do the rest of the year. So really appreciate your time. I hope you enjoyed it. And is there anyone you want to talk about before we go and you want to thank any partners or family or anything like that? Feel free. This is your time.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. It was awesome to do this and talk to you about just all things TC racing. People to thank, obviously my parents. They've let me chase my dream. My teammate Cam Evans probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his guidance last year, and obviously James Clay at Denver World and Jay Adair at Copart for sponsoring us and running the team and allowing me to chase after my dream.
That's great. And what about your social media so people can follow you? Do you have an Instagram or Twitter, any of those things? Why don't you put that stuff out there too?
I do have an Instagram. It is Chandler Hole Racing. That's where I post pretty much everything. I have a Facebook with a page, Chandler Hole as well, that I post some stuff on there too. But mainly an Instagram, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll make sure that gets in the show notes so people can follow you. Next week is Watkins Glen, so I look forward to seeing you there. Thanks again for your time, Chandler. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe.
Want to save money modifying your Mazda? Yeah, we thought you might like that. And now, thanks to the TC America podcast, you can save 10% off your next purchase with Corksport. Corksport offers a full range of performance engine, handling, and styling parts for the Mazda 3, Mazda 6, Mazda Speed 3, MX-5, and more. So how do you get the 10% off from your favorite podcast, US? It's easy to do. Get your favorite parts on corksport.com and enter the promo code TCAmerica19, all in capitals, and the magic happens. You save 10%. This offer expires October 1st, 2019, so don't wait long to save. Love, Corksport.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.